Hey guys, welcome back to the Women of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to chat all things Marvel and more. It's Judy.
Hey guys, it's Sana.
And actually, what's really exciting is we're currently sitting in a room at Y'all West, but we're coming to you for some other exciting stuff that I did.
Yes, and Y'all West, by the way, is the young adult literature festival that that actually Margaret Stoll and her entire community of authors, Margaret Stoll, the writer of Life of Captain Marvel and Captain Marvel. So she brings together a bunch of young adult authors, a bunch of teens, tweens from all around the city. It's actually super fun. And they've been doing a lot to promote comics.
We had a great group of people that came and saw us at 11 a.m. on a Saturday morning. So yes, thanks for coming out if you were there. And if not, I'm sure you'll see us at another con in the future. Comic-Con.
Yeah. So what do we got on this podcast, Judy?
So actually, the last time I was out in LA, because I've been to LA a lot of times this year, I had the opportunity to talk to two of the epic women from Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, Olivia Holt and Emma Lahanna. We actually haven't had them on the podcast before, so it was actually a great honor to talk to the two of them, and especially with the launch of season two now on Freeform. And we talked a little bit about, like, you know, coming into season two and what the characters would be developed for both of them. And with Olivia playing Dagger and Emma coming into a role of two different characters, which I think was really interesting.
So I admittedly have not started this most recent season. I loved season one. I thought it was fantastic. I'm loving actually all of the Marvel shows that are on right now, and particularly Runaways and Cloak and Dagger. I think it's like more my speed. You know, it's sort of like teen friendly, and like, I think I'm like a teen, you know what I mean? So,
you know, Sana is a teen in her 30s.
I'm so young in my heart, but it's really good. Like, the season one was fantastic. I've heard great things about season two, and both those actresses are just really great, really engaging on screen, very unexpected. I love the way Olivia plays her character. There's like this, you think she's like this goody two shoes, and there's like this layer of mystery and darkness around her. And it's just, it's super fun. I'm jealous I wasn't there. I didn't get to talk to them.
I wish you had been there, because we had like a great conversation about women's anger and how, you know, dealing with that on screen. And then we talked a little bit about animals from South of America. We talked about like llamas and alpacas at the end. And it was just a great, like, fun moment to sort of just talk and just have a good time, because I mean, honestly, isn't that what we're all about? It's just chatting,
just having a good time. Yeah, just chatting.
Well,
I'm looking forward to hearing the conversation, so let's just go straight to it.
I was running a bunch in Vans, and I woke up one morning and my ankles were so weak I couldn't stand up, and I was like, I can't go into work. And I said, my winkles.
That's cute.
I said my wankles, but I was like, in my head, you know, like when your brain like thinks a little bit more before like you start speaking.
But I feel like you're such a cute delight that you don't have ankles, and you do in fact have wankles.
Yeah. I feel like if you also said it in a slightly different accent, you would have probably been totally okay.
Oh, absolutely.
If you like said it in a Kiwi accent.
Oh, 1,000%. Everything's cool.
Winkles. I've got a couple winkles. Winkles.
Okay, so I'm actually going to welcome you to the podcast. Hello, Olivia.
Hello.
Hello, Emma.
Hello.
I'm so happy for you guys to join us. I feel like when they first announced Cloak and Dagger, they're these two iconic characters in the Marvel Universe that really had a unique storyline that really made sense to the comic period. But I feel like Freeform's done such a great job of bringing it into 2018, 2019 because of the diverse characters that you guys both play. I mean, a female detective and sort of switching up the roles of Cloak and Dagger in the comic, obviously. But what is it about you guys, you know, playing this role on the show with such a great community of cast and crew? You guys are on your second season now. Like, was it so great for you guys to come back for season two?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, we're really lucky. We have a diverse writer's room. I could tell as soon as I read my character breakdown when I auditioned that there were women involved in the conversation, because they allow our characters to be complicated, which is really refreshing as women. So often I think that's, you're kind of playing a character that essentially is there to forward a male storyline, and we don't have that. We have these scenes with each other that are, you know, 3 pages long or more, and we don't talk about crushes or boys or anything like that. We're talking about everything else, and these characters are able to be, you know, fully fledged individuals in their own right and not in regards to a male storyline or how they fit into that relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure as most people know you don't really get a script until you are officially a part of the project. And I was very unfamiliar with the comics. And so I went in and I read the first comic before I auditioned. And I mean, it's based in that era. But what I love is like that we are sort of taking it into a more modern day, what it's like, you know, in 2018, 2019, like what society in this world looks like. And, you know, as a whole, not just as a woman, but also as a young white woman or, you know, a young black male or, you know, I mean, we're sort of like talking about each and every piece of culture and, you know, how some of those things have been dehumanized and minimized in so many aspects.
Yeah. And I just love the fact as well that we have Olivia's character who is a lot more harder and hardened. And then you have Aubrey's character who is almost more emotional and shows more emotion. You don't see that often on television.
Now we're breaking those stereotypes for sure.
I mean, it's also, it's a show about superheroes, but it's not at all, which I think is really great because like, you know, this is, we're in the moment of day where superhero movies are everywhere and there's always a trailer or a thing or dropping, but it's a show about humans that might happen to have powers and how they deal with those powers. Because I think that's the one thing that Marvel characters always struggle with is they have faults, right?
Mm-hmm. Every script that we get, it doesn't feel like it's, you can't really predict, you know, what's going to happen. And I think that's what's so fascinating is like, we're sort of storytelling from a fantasy realm, but also bringing in the elements of reality, which I think that's what makes our show so unique and special is the fact that like we're storytelling from like a perspective of a young girl or a young boy or a detective who has also been hardened in some, you know, aspects moving from New York to New Orleans. And everybody has their own little niche. It's like they have like a character trait that makes everything so different. And I mean, truly unique, like there it really isn't anything like it, which I think is sort of separates us in certain ways.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, these characters, they're not led by the fact that they have these powers. You get to know who they are as individuals and really root for them and understand their hardships and what makes them tick. And then, you know, the superpower element is secondary, essentially. So it makes you just, I think, root for them even more.
Because you watch how they cope with their issues that they have already and the baggage that they have, you watch them sort of grasp and understand and sort of go through the motions of what that's like. But then on top of that, they have developed these superpowers and they have to try and figure out how to cope with that as well. So they have a lot under their belt. I don't know how they're doing.
And also the fact that yours are, you know, really brought on by emotions that you feel, I think is just such a beautiful element. So
very
it's not just like,
driven.
Oh, let me just bring out a dagger, but it's when you're, you know, triggered by something.
Right.
And that just, again, makes you so much more invested because you go along with the story and you can feel what she's feeling and you know how much more it means for her to be able to manifest that light dagger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think it's so important for young women, you know, especially watching Freeform because, you know, as women, all three of us have gone through, obviously, puberty in our teenagers' ages.
What?
There was so
have
much.
We?
What?
No. Not yet.
Are we all permanently ever 14?
I'm still waiting for my boobs.
But, you know, like women struggle with these emotions and we're told not to have emotions and we're told that emotions make us weak. And I feel like that another one of those elements is sort of anger, right? As women, we're not necessarily allowed to be angry. I'm using quotations. I remember growing up and being told I was cute when I was angry. Mm. And that's so like condescending
it totally
and
is.
So frustrating because you want to be respected for you as a woman, but you struggle with so. So there's, I feel like the show taps into that, like, what is anger and what does it mean?
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting too between season one and two for my character is in season one, you see her come up against a lot of stuff that women in male-driven industries come up against. And she's called a bitch all the time. And, you know, she really kind of swallows it and doesn't really, as strong as she is, she doesn't really do anything with that. And she's burying a lot. And then now there's this other side of her that's come out. And this is obviously airing after the premiere. So we know at this point that I'm two separate characters. And I think it's a really interesting sort of metaphor for the fact that you didn't allow this rage and this anger. You kept trying to squash it. And now it's become a completely separate part of you that you can't control anymore.
Yeah. I mean, anger is definitely, it can turn you bad or good, or it can drive you. I think for women, anger can drive you.
Yeah.
But it can also weaken you because you get lost in the anger, and it depends on the character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
how
that's,
struggles.
And what's really interesting is, you know, when you go through the stages of grief, actually, is anger is such an important emotion because that's actually what helps you get out of bed and continue. It's a driving force, and it is something that is necessary. But we so often just make it a negative thing as opposed opposed to sitting back and accepting it and figuring out how we can actually use it to help ourselves in moments of struggle.
I think everything you guys are describing is Tandy. You
know? Totally.
No, it totally is. Like, she's dealing with grief, and one of, you know, the levels of grief, like dealing with that, is anger. Mm-hmm. And I think all of that has to do with, you know, the emotions that she's dealt with her dad. And then going into season two, I think she puts it in perspective a little bit better. The world is taken from her. So she's, you know, taking it back. But she's also like the most driven and ambitious and doesn't take no for an answer.
Yeah. And it's only through, you know, obviously media that we become more comfortable in the things that we want to be. You know, it's only through different things like the Year of the Woman and stuff like that, that more, you know, allies will step up and because it's, I think it's just like how we all grew up, that this expectation of like, what is a boy in the box and what is a girl in her box? And also, you know, your show is dealing with some crazy topics every year, like this, you know, sex trafficking, like that's in itself a huge topic that is an important topic, especially in this moment in time. And things like that, they're like heavy topics. Like, how do you guys come to set and you're like, are you just like, do you put it in a box or do you just tackle it head on?
I mean, it's probably different every day, kind of depending on where
I think it's the scene or the environment.
Yeah, I think we kind of try to kind of go into it. And then, you know, when you have a moment, lunch break or a bit of time off, you try to kind of give yourself a bit of respite because it is pretty heartbreaking. We had some really hard scenes to shoot this year and they're really heartbreaking and they're really important. And I think it's amazing that we have this platform where we can, you know, share these stories and hopefully make people who don't feel seen, people who don't feel heard, that we're opening that conversation and giving them that platform. But for us, yeah, there's definitely a moment where it gets really heavy and it gets really hard. But at the end of the day, we just want to make a really good show that's a responsible show. So we all pull together to do it and then, you know, try to kind of find some moments that are a bit lighter and full of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some time during, you know, mid-season where it is pretty heavy. And I think it's like the physicality and emotionally and like mentally is like really challenging. But like Emma said, trying to like create raw, organic, like authentic moments and like not glamorizing it in any way, because I think television does that a lot. They talk about real life issues, but then the way that they show it doesn't feel real. And so I don't think people are really grasping and understanding exactly what's happening in our world. And we've tried really hard not to glamorize it, to like be really, really open and raw and show as much as possible to open up a conversation and then to also show people how to take action on it.
And also educating ourselves on what was going on by watching documentaries and reading and making sure that we really knew what we were kind of talking about and tackling.
Yeah.
Those topics are sometimes so deep and so intense. I mean, we are in a 24/7 news cycle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's too much and sometimes you need to take a step back. But sometimes taking things, topics, you know, like women's anger and sex trafficking and these, you know, like obviously like drug and alcohol abuse and stuff like that, like, and putting it in a way that is a story that's a fictional universe, but still possible, you know, like New Orleans feels real and the scenes and everything feels real. So it helps young girls and boys try to figure that all out and what it means. So,
well, I think, you know, kind of what we were saying about before, we really spent season one allowing the audience to understand these characters, it almost in a way makes those topics that are really hard and difficult to understand, it makes it a little bit more digestible. And it probably makes people a bit more open to hearing about it and listening about it because you become invested in these characters' lives as opposed to, you know, a 10-15 minute segment on CNN or something where people can easily just kind of shut off. But in this way, you're invested. And we do have that fantasy element, so it also gives the audience a little bit of a break while we're continuing to deal with these heavy subject matters.
We're entertaining, but we're also, you know, trying to make an impact on people and give them a takeaway and educating them, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, what was it like for you guys to do season one and then come back for season two? You had a successful season, a great storyline. What do you want to bring to your characters for season two?
I don't know why we just looked at each other like that.
Do you want to share answers?
I think, you know, season one was... We had the training wheels on, you know, it was like we are sort of trying to, it was a slow burn, sort of trying to figure out exactly who our characters are as individuals, but then we're also figuring out who they are together, what they can do together, what their powers are, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of. And season two, I think we're going into it with we're gaining more perspective, we're gaining more opinions, we're everything is more enhanced. You know, I think now they have a better grip of what their powers can do. And we really do see this season how Tandy and Tyrone are better together than they are apart. And the journey that they go on together, the things that they tackle together, and then, you know, bringing Mayhem into the mix, it adds a whole new dynamic. And I think I'm really just like looking forward for everybody to see the growth that they've made, and we'll definitely watch them learn some pretty big lessons this season too.
For me, it was like season one and season two were almost completely different shows because I was playing a completely different character. And so now I have these two characters to play.
By the way, she totally crushed it. So everyone nice. Was so like so impressed so with nice. How she did this.
But it was interesting because I auditioned as Bridget. So, you know, the creators and the network and the studio approved me as Bridget. And then so playing Mayhem, it almost felt like a really long audition because I was like, is this okay? Am I doing what you want? I don't know. So that kind of was nerve-wracking. But once I kind of started to feel like I was, you know, getting into the swing of things and figuring out exactly what to do, then it became fun. And Mayhem is really fun to play. And she's my favorite of the two, obviously, because she's just, you know, she's kind of a badass. And I'm also more like Bridget in real life. I'm a lot more, I think, polite and would play by the rules more. I'm not at all like Mayhem. So it's fun to play that role because it's such a departure from who I think I am.
I kind of want to see someone cosplay, like the two of them. Or like, I mean, that's the one thing that comes with sort of fandom in the Marvel world is now you go to these conventions and you get to meet people that have watched you become these characters and also cosplay. Like, have you guys seen any cosplays of yourselves yet?
Yeah, like a couple of weeks ago, we were at an event and this girl came up to me in Tandy's outfit in the first episode of first season, and the beanie, the jean jacket, and the skirt.
It was super accurate too.
It was. Like, I almost was like, I like your, oh, wait a second, this looks familiar. And
you're like, weird flashback, I know. Confusing.
I was like, why do you look so cute? So stuff like that is obviously really cool. And I actually got to talking with her, and she's a big fan of the show, and she loves, you know, Tandy, the character. She said, you know, I relate to her in so many different ways. And obviously that makes us feel really good because it feels like, you know, we're creating an authentic story where people can do that. They can look at a character and be like, whoa, I'm so much like her. And I was like, what parts of Tandy are you like? Just curious.
Yeah. Do I need to hold on to my wallet?
Are you as cynical as she is? Because if so, we need to throw some optimism your way.
Are you okay?
Yeah, right. But it's still so surreal. Like, we'll go to some of these conventions and people will be so excited. And we actually showed, you know, our first episode of season two at WonderCon a couple weeks ago, and everybody just seemed really thrilled with where the story is going to go. And that makes us really happy because we obviously put in a lot of hard work, and not just the cast, but the crew. And I mean, everybody feels really passionate about it. So for us, like, the feedback that we get, especially the positive ones are great.
The negative stuff's fun.
The negative stuff is fun too, so I guess. Fun, no. People are talking about it.
Don't read the comments.
Yeah, don't never read the comments. Never read the comments. Ever.
We bring our best every single day, and that's all you really can do. And it's a huge collaboration. And we have, like, us as a cast, we have so much creative control, and you don't really get that in projects. So for us, like, it really does feel like a baby that we're all helping grow up. That was a really weird example.
Petri dish.
Is the baby like three now? Is the baby like two and a half?
I think the baby is ageless. It's an ageless baby.
I'm like, the visual that I'm getting in my head is so weird.
It's so weird, because it's kind of like a combo of you and Aubrey and Joe and me.
Okay, goodbye.
And Paul Udo.
I just had an image of the baby. Oh, what was that show in the 90s?
Mabel?
Yes.
My favorite show.
With the really terrible digital dancing baby.
Terrible. Hey, I love that show.
Okay, now.
You know, that's the show that made me want to be an actor.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bathroom scene. You just want to hang out in the bathroom.
I was just so obsessed with Calista Flockhart in that show. Yeah.
I wonder why. No,
guys, I've never even seen this. Born in the late 90s. I've never seen this show. I don't even know what we're talking about.
It was really
about.
Groundbreaking at the time.
All right.
And it was also, you know, for women to play lawyers on television was like a big deal.
Well, talking about rom-coms, actually, one of the fun questions we've been asking a lot of people this year is, what food would your characters order for takeout? And is it the same or different from what you guys would order?
Oh, well, I'm a vegan. I don't know if mayhem.
You can
I
feel like you're in LA. You can order takeout here.
Oh, no. I just ate about 17 pounds of veggie grill.
I honestly don't know what Tandy would order for takeout.
Would she order? Would she just thieve it?
Yeah, she wouldn't order. Yeah. She would honestly just find would a way like into a the kitchen boy? And maybe a po' boy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's from New Orleans, and I feel like New Orleans is maybe like her vibe. But I wouldn't, as Olivia, I don't think I would order a po' boy. I think I would like go into the movie theater and ask to get some popcorn from the concession stand, not even see a movie and then leave.
She has done
that's like not even technically takeout, but it's my version of takeout.
You know, you can make popcorn at home, right?
Oh, but she does
it's not, no, it's not the same.
With that, like,
it's not
you
the
do
same.
Make good popcorn, buttery.
I do make great. I great. Yeah. Because I have borderline obsessed with popcorn. Like if
borderline.
I could eat it for breakfast, lunch and dinner and every single snack in between, I would.
Wow. I'm actually worried about Bridget's diet, to be honest, from when I've been in her apartment and I look around with what the art department's done. I was like, you have no fiber. Like, do you ever go to the bathroom, Bridget? I don't know. It's like crackers, rice. Like, it's a nightmare. Her kitchen is a nightmare.
What do you guys eat for craft services then?
We feel like we just switch it up. I don't know.
Yeah, we have
like,
those Vega protein bars.
Yeah. Well, first season they did have a popcorn machine on set, and Cliff Charles and I, our DP, would constantly like if they couldn't find us, they would just go to Crafty, and him and I would just be like snacking on popcorn and chatting. But they didn't bring it back for second season.
I wonder why.
Probably because they could never find a DP and our actress. They were like, "Where are they?" So they didn't bring it back second season, unfortunately.
So wait, what would Mayhem order for takeout?
I don't know. I feel like she'd just eat people. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think she'd just eat like steak tartare, like raw?
I don't know. I just don't even want to imagine that because it's like I feel like that's my mouth and I don't like the idea of putting cow in my mouth at all. I don't know. Mayhem, I feel like would be, I don't know. I'm going to go with Mayhem being a vegan as well.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think she would be a vegan.
Well, let's just go with it, you know?
You just want her to be a vegan.
I do.
So bad.
I do.
It's okay.
So I feel like she's been in a slaughterhouse and she's like, I'm not going to do that. She like freed the cows.
All right. I respect
that.
So
she's like, fine, I'll eat some tofu.
She settles. Settles with
she's
for
like,
tofu.
I'll do it. I'm That's not amazing. Funding this.
She just freed that cow. That there was a cow running amok in New York City like a week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
And it was like, whenever like animals get out, like it's like, international news.
Isn't it though? I've noticed that. Like, what?
I mean, I do remember, was it llamas? Was it the llama or the alpacas?
Yes.
Do you remember? It was out here in California. And it was like, they were like escaped for like 3 hours.
Freedom
those
for 3 hours.
Are ninjas.
Like, yeah, and they spit at you too if you get too close too fast. Just a little llama fact for you there. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining. This was actually a great conversation. And I'm hoping everyone goes and watches season 2 of Cloak and Dagger on Freeform. Go check it out. And thank you so much, Emma and Olivia, for joining
us. Thank you for having us. Sorry it got weird there for a minute.
That's right. We're going to just go off mic and talk about llamas and alpacas. Yeah.
Perfect. I'm going to do it.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Olivia and Emma for joining us. But make sure you guys go check out season 2 of Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, airing now on Thursdays on Freeform, or you can stream it online.
Yeah, guys, I'm excited.
Actually, we've got some exciting housekeeping news as we are going into June soon, and it is going to be World Pride for the first time in New York City, especially to honor the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, which was pretty much the start of the LGBTQ rights movement in the United States. New York City is doing a big to-do, and we'd love to be a part of that. So we're looking to do a great conversation with fellow LGBTQ creators and writers and fans. So stay tuned for some exciting news. For those in New York, maybe there might be something for you to come to. And if not, it'll definitely be up here on the podcast.
Yes. So definitely check out the Win Marvel podcast for more information. We also have, of course, Comic-Con coming up in July, where we're going to be doing a whole hubbub of activity.
Hubbub. I like that. I like hubbub. Also,
I don't know what it means, but it just means things are going on.
Well, I mean, this summer is such a great celebration for us. The end of June will be the 5th anniversary of the podcast. San Diego Comic-Con will be our 10th anniversary for the panel, and it also will be our 200th episode.
God, we've been talking a lot.
Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Wows.
Yes.
That's a great way to end the podcast.
Hey, guys, come back for more for us to talk to more. As always, if you have questions or suggestions, you can email us at womanof@marvel.com or you can tweet at Marvel with #womanofmarvel. As always,
always,
this is Marvel,
your universe.